I observe things, and I'll just refer to this. And watching, you know, the American Donald Trump and his former presidential candidate, Mitt Romney, and the position that they want to give to him and all that. And, you know, just observing him and all the things that he said, and then finally, you know, if you don't understand how wounds function, you just won't understand how somebody can stand up and say, you're a fraud, you are this, you are that, you are this, you are this, and be the number one opposite to this person, and then he wins the election, and you are going to greet him, and you are like almost shamelessly presenting yourself for a job. Are you following what I'm saying here? But you know the thing there. All those words he said, the truth about the matter is, in the balance of his heart, those things, he didn't mean them like that. It's coming from probably his own rejection of losing the presidency, all right? The pain inside his own life, all right? Those things, he overreached with those words, all right? So when they sit down with him and talk with him, and they move with those other sides, they can see that, look, this guy will be good. And they asked, I heard from what they asked, like, said, that's the best person. If you ask him who he wants to pick, that's the person he really wants to pick, all right? Because he has a cowboy nature, all right? And the world is afraid. With that kind of guy there, at least the world will calm down, first of all. You understand? So he really wants him. But you know, you can sabotage vital relationships. You follow what I'm saying? You can, they will think through on it and start and sabotage opportunities. Those things now begin to come out, right? If we don't allow for proper emotional development, we create walls around. I mean, some lady might have suffered something from one man, and that's it. All men are that. That's it. Even if Jesus comes in flesh. All right, once Jesus opens his mouth, I told you, men are men. Men, can you see them? All right, because walls have been built. I was reading a book once about a king in the 14th century, and his sons were, you know, lobbying in the courts of the palace, who is going to become the next king. He said, look, this is how we're going to do it. All of you will get out of the palace, you build your own houses, and you must have no fences in your houses. Everybody must have access. The one who can survive will be the king. In other words, the one who can relate well with people. The one who doesn't need these high walls around. The wall that doesn't need the protection and all of that. That is the person that is going, all right, to be king there. So when we pull out of things, a lot of times we don't, what happens is that we don't develop. We don't grow. We don't get as wise as we ought to about issues. Right? The emotional state. A person might be 45, but the emotional state there. Say he's still a baby, the way he behaves. Emotional state. The adult-like expectations. Those things. All right? Dealing with crisis properly. All right? And all of that. Those things just will not be there. And once those things are not there, you are, with that attitude, we rob ourselves portions of our lives and really will have not complete peace and harmony within. Because you've bottled those things up on the inside and created a wall, you really cannot have that harmony on the inside, which means being comfortable in your own skin, being at peace with your own self. I'm not talking about anything outside, at peace with your own self, right? Now, the point I want to get to is this. If it just stops here, fine. But the point really I want to get to is that this difficulty to connect with people, right? We don't see it this way. We think there's no problem with us and God. But the truth is, the difficulty to connect with people gets ultimately translated, all right, and is transferred into our relationship with God. There will be an inability to trust God fully. Now, you might understand principles of faith. Hear what I'm saying. I teach faith. I know what I'm talking about. You might be able to explain the 4 steps and the 7 steps to answered prayer and the 16 most important things about faith. But, so trust God. And I'll explain what I'm saying. Let me tell you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I'm telling you they didn't know the 16 most important things about faith. But when they hit the furnace, think about it. And they said to them, you are going into this place. Those boys entered knowing that God will be there. How many of us can enter that kind of fire with our teachings? You finish explaining, they say this fire. You say, hold it, man. All right, let's all right, this is not what we're talking about. You are taking this thing too far. All right? You are taking literally. It's not the letter, the spirit. All right? Because you don't take letter of the word of God. When we said flames, we didn't mean literal flames. We just meant flame. But then you also have taught that our covenant is better than their own covenant. All right? But then their own covenant, they entered fire. Why can't your own covenant? You can't enter. We say, no. You don't understand. So we begin, the thing looks hypocritical. Are you following what I'm saying? And Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. Lion? And he was sure. The man came out. He was sure. How do they have this kind of knowledge? The Bible says, they that know their God, they shall be strong and do exploits. This is not just that you understand the principles of the word of God. You have come to know God. Are you following what I'm saying? And this is the area. In fact, when I was meditating, God told me, he said, you know this, we are violating your theology of faith. So I'm just taking it easy with you one by one. He said, but let me tell you. He said, you see, all these broken places there, those are the only areas my glory can shine out of. He said, my glory is like it's concealed in a box. When you break the box there, what you are calling negative is openings for my glory to come out. He said, that is why, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. In other words, listen, when they took Joseph and threw him into the pit, let me tell you, they opened something. That court opened him up to be prime minister. Do you get what I'm saying here? They cut his life, right? And it opened him up. When people experience that kind of thing and they go through that, it means that God is opening, there's something opening up in their lives for his glory to be made manifest within their lives. Now, let me move on here. All right, let's look at 1 John chapter 4 here. 1 John chapter 4, all right, and verse 20. It says, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God that he cannot see? God said, he's a liar. You can't love a person you can see. You say, no, but God, that you are God, you are perfect. Say, how do you know? Have you seen me? You just say you're perfect. You just have this image of him. If we ask everyone, what does God look like? Some people, he has a beard. Some people, he doesn't have a beard. Are you following me saying? Yeah? So it's just God. All right? As you worship God, you just, flames are just coming. We can't see if there's a flame fire. So he opens his mouth and smoke comes out. You know, it's God. And he says, how do you have that emotional connection? How do you have that kind of love? This love is talking about is not this theoretical thing we are saying, that I love God. How do you show the love of God? I serve him in church. This is not what he's talking about. We are talking about, I explained this last week, a vital, listen, you know, you can say somebody loves you, all right, you know, but if you walk out of this place, you don't have a car, somebody says, you know, you don't have a car, get in my car, drives you home, gives you a brand new car. Something is poured on you called love. You get what I'm saying? You understand this? Yes, you feel a warmth. You come out and say, now I know what brotherly love is. I now understand that this is love. This, well, you knew love before. Mm-mm. But this is what? Love now. You understand what I'm saying there? Now you know love. And you're saying you are going to get into the love. When you get into the love of God, you are never ashamed. Do you get what I'm saying here? Things never work out wrong. You understand this? God is, as the Bible says, he's rich unto all those that call upon him, which means that he always does exceedingly abundantly above anything you ask or think. This is not theoretical. This is, you know, this. This is in your life. You pray to God and say, God, I want a salary, 300. When they bring it out and they say, here's your salary, you always see 600. You say, this God. All right? You say, okay, what I want to do is this. And you experience the love of God. Now, let me just take a very small analogy. Just think about this. Let's assume every time you travel, you buy an economic ticket, but every time they upgrade you to first class, every time, you will know that there's something with you. Do you get what I'm saying here? That there's an angel with you. As you get there, they look at you, say, look at me. Oh, let's move you to first class. They say, are you sure? Yes. You land in Australia, they look at you, the Australian say, let's move you to first class. Okay, we say maybe it's an Australian thing. You land in America, let's move. You see that there is somebody who is pushing you up. Are you following what I'm saying here? You experience love on the inside. Now, this is what we're going to here. He says, how can you love your brother? Now, there was a woman that said this, and I caught it. She said that she had gone through abuse when she was growing up, and she had gotten born again after 15 years, was zealous in church. But one day she said something. She said, my adult mind had an objective acceptance of the reality of God and his word. The problem was that my heart could not connect personally with him. Which means that if you asked me mentally, I will explain all those things. But she said there was something inside my heart that wasn't connecting. That you look at it and say, why should a man like Elijah be able to come out and say publicly, the God that answers by fire is God, and put God on the spot? And we say it's an old covenant they had. But our own that we are praying privately, publicly, we are not seeing the fire, that you can't dare and come out and say, listen, I'm telling you today, the God that answers by fire. Which means that personal space there is what we need to get into. I remember, you know, during the Bible school, we were teaching on prayer, and I kept praying about it. I said, God, look, you know, I just want to go over this thing, petition and supplication. I said, look, let me see what this thing is. All right? Because in all the Greek words, I couldn't find the real difference between petition and supplication. They were mixing the thing. He said to me, he said, look, a petition, we know it's like you petition a court, a legal presentation. He said, that's the area that you people teach and talk about my principles. These are the principles of prayer. You pray in the name of Jesus. You bring my word. He said, but there is a dimension to prayer there that deals with my person, right? Which means that God is not an ATM machine. If you get the principles right, the pin number right, you put in the card, you write number 7777, you press, money will come out. You don't have any relationship with the ATM machine. You can hit the ATM machine that way and carry your money and go. He said, that's not the way I am. He said, I'm a person. I have feelings, all right? Okay, there are things you do that can hurt me. There are things you do that can, you know, stimulate me, and I am aroused by the things you do. He said, it is that area in prayer people have got to know. And it's when you deal on these personal issues with God that you start discovering, all right, those areas there. For example, you know, we want to prosper. One day I asked Reverend Emiko, I said, this prosperity thing people teach, you know, they're attacking it. He said, hey, but you said, first of all, let's get this clear. He said, prosperity wasn't man's idea, it was God's idea. That when Solomon went to pray, did he ask God for money? He asked for wisdom. That God was the one that suggested wealth. Do you understand this? When it was God that said, hold it, we're not over here. You see, when you're dealing with petition, you just say, I've got my wisdom, I'm going. But when you know God, God stops, say, look, there is something else I have decided of myself to give to you. All right? That nobody will be wealthier than you, Solomon. I don't care whatever principle or whatever idea they get. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't care whatever they give, nobody will have your cash on the earth, as far as I'm concerned. That's it. You can go. So when you enter into that space with God and start dealing with him on that personal issue, and how do we get there? It's from these broken places within our lives, right? It's in these areas because, you know, we say he's, as the Bible says, where the bride is bridegroom. The origin of marriage in the garden was that when people got married, this is what God said about Adam and Eve. This was the definition that they were one. He said they were naked and not what? Ashamed. In other words, the thoughts we harbor in our minds, all right? If everybody knows what we are thinking, we will be ashamed. All right? So the only person we can disclose everything we are thinking to is God. And it's when you go that way to God, and there are things on your heart and your mind, and you're able to communicate those things to God, that's when that kind of relationship, right, that we see, all right, in Isaiah 54, it says, and your land shall be called married unto the Lord, And God starts describing things about favor. So we must have the courage to carry the dusty box of experiences we have had in the past, we still hurt from, and enter into the safe haven of God's presence, where in the privacy of our own thoughts, we're able to acknowledge our wounds and scars and allow God to be able to heal us. In other words, we must be able to carry the privacy of our thoughts. All right, someone sent this to me, I think it was Wesley Snipes. He put it up on Twitter and he was talking about the fact that, you know, people, you know, that, look, this issue of when you go through things, he said the limitations of people being able to help you. And look, that he was talking about you need to connect with your creator and all of that. Obviously, I haven't gone to jail, must have experienced things. Yesterday, Cliff Richard on Sky, I retweeted it. I was shocked. I just saw Sky put it out on Twitter. An interview they did with him, I was shocked. He said in this part of the world, it was in England there, he said, people don't really believe in God. They don't talk about it. They don't think it's fashionable. He said, but let me tell you something. When you go through things, he said, your friends at night will have to go back to their homes. You will be left alone by yourself. He said, and when you're alone, there is only one person that can be with you 24 hours. His name is God. He said, and you need to learn how to pray to him and talk to God. He said, I had to take my problems to God. He said, I spoke to God. He said, I found a way to forgive people that had hurt me and how he surmounted those things. So what we have is that we need to take it, the privacy. You see, our thought life is a real place, but it's private. All right, everybody's looking at me now. It looks like everybody's listening to me, but some people might not be listening. In your thought life, you might be thinking about something you left at home, all right, or some bill you have to pay tomorrow. But you're looking at me, and when I turn to the Bible, you are turning, but you might not be turning. Your mind might be somewhere. So your thought life is the private place between you and God. Do you get what I'm saying here? All right? And we need to understand how we can take those things, right? Because there are issues people might have in their thought life that you can't even say, all right? I mean, there was a case of a man who fought with his wife and said, listen to me, this thing started on the day of our reception. After 15 years, say, you mean, the wife said, what do you mean? Reception, say, yes, reception. You mean you have been keeping this thing all this while? But something happened, he was bruised, all right? And he held it inside his heart. And sometimes people might not be able to say it because they, number one, it might be petty, but their heart. Number two, they might not know what the response will be. So people have to learn how to deal with those things because voicing those things out can explode more. So you want to take these things and some of them, people are hurt on the inside and you want to deal with this. So you take it, Hebrews chapter 10. I've got to finish in 5 minutes. Hebrews chapter 10 here. Hebrews chapter 10. It says this in verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image or substance of those things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then will they have not ceased to be offered, but the worshippers once for should have had no more consciousness of sin. In other words, the blood of bulls and goats and the sacrifice, they were going year in, year out. That word conscience means consciousness, which means there were things in their consciousness that could not be removed. But it says with the blood of Jesus, it says, if you go into the holiest of all, once with the matter, it will be once and for all. Which means you enter with it once, that I was treated wrongly and you carried that matter into the holiest of all once. It gets wiped out forever in your life. There will be no repetition. There will be no altar calls. They say, and that altar call, come and forgive. And you say, yes, you're coming again. 3 years after, yeah, oh, the pain is still there. Once and for all. Once and for all. All right? And we can go into that safe haven. Carry these things to God in worship and take those things before him and worship him and present those things. Now, to tell you the truth, it has never failed to work, but I do not have any logical explanation why it works. Apart from the fact that you met with your maker. That is, this is the reserve of God Almighty. But you get into it when things happen and, you know, get into it. And when you enter there and bring it before God in worship, God sucks that thing out in his presence. And there is a change and a transformation in you. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 12. I'll close with this scripture here. 2 Samuel chapter 12. This is what David understood. Right? David was praying. We know this story where his child was going to die. In verse 19. 2 Samuel 12, 19. And when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived the child was dead. Therefore, David said unto his servants, is the child dead? They said, he is dead. And then David arose from the earth, washed himself, anointed himself, changed his apparel, came into the house of God, worshipped. That's what he did. And came into his own house, which means went forced into God's house, worshipped, came out, and then asked them what he could eat. And then the servants were shocked in verse 21. And they said, what thing is this that thou hast done? We don't understand this. Thou did fast and weep for the child while the child was alive. When the child was dead, thou did rise and eat. And he said, while the child was alive, I fasted, wept. I said, if God would save him. Now the child is dead. Shall I fast? I can't bring him back. Shall I go to him? He shall not return. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, went into her. And the Bible says she bore a son. And he called him Solomon. And the Lord loved Solomon. Solomon came out of it. That's the end of the story. What happened with all the iniquity? I don't know. God sucked everything out in his presence. Do you understand what I'm saying? They got into the presence of God there. God sucked everything out. When you look at Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, when they threw them into the flames, they fell down before God in worship. And the Bible says that they fell down and they saw them walking around the fire, right? Loosed. And when you go into worship, walk around that situation. Take that thing to God. You say, well, I was, somebody dumped me and, you know, my heart was broken. Go into it and worship God. So I didn't like the way he said it. Well, leave that. Worship God for the way he said it. And then go and say, well, I didn't like the parents. Go into that area to worship God. Well, I don't like the way his friends. Worship God. Everything. So that when they touch the wound, there's no pain again. Are you following what I'm saying? All right, they go there. Circumstance go there is dead. Everything is dead. Every part. Someone says, well, I lost my job. When I lost my job, I didn't like the way the man treated me. Go back to that place in worship and worship God that he treated you that way. And they say, well, when he did that, you know, I lost this. Worship God for that. You say, well, now I have the threat. I don't know whether I'll be able to pay my children. Go there and worship and make every area where there will have been pain, let everything die in his presence. And he says, once that is done and you are loosed in the flames there, then you will see what God will do. In closing, let me say something. And God laid this upon my heart, and this is the only way I can say it. All right? And what I want to say is this. There are some things that people have gone through in life that some of you have suffered that is not fair. All right? There is no human explanation. Truth about the matter is, when we look at it, right, is just not fair. The skills are just not, it's not right. There is no explanation, all right? No reason why you should have experienced what you experienced. However, let me give you something that God placed inside my heart. And he showed me from Isaiah 53, that no guile was found in his mouth. He committed no sin, yet he was bruised, yet he was grieved. But then the Bible says that when he made his soul an offering for the sin of the people, he said, then he saw his seed and the program of God prospered in his hands. Let me tell you, people are going through things on this earth and nobody can minister to a person who is going through something if you haven't gone through something similar. Are you following what I'm saying here? If that were not the case, then why will God have to send Jesus, that the Bible says that by the grace of God, he might taste of death. That through death, he might deliver, destroy him that power of death, and deliver them who through the fear of death. The life of Jesus, that sending him, that he might be a faithful and merciful high priest, which means he has to go through and be tempted in every point as you are, that he might be a faithful and a merciful high priest is consistent with us. For you to be able to minister to people, you must have the experience on the inside. So if God looks, just take it this way, in the sovereignty of God and as an act of service in ministry, that if there are millions of people on this earth who are suffering through that, he needs somebody that will understand him, that will come out of that experience and minister to those millions of people and deliver them. And let me say this to you, when we leave this world, this place is just a first stage. The car we drive doesn't count, the house we live doesn't count, is our service to God. Are you following what I'm saying here? And it's the contributions you've made into people's lives that really matters. So if you went through something and you resolved it. Now, the problem is that reason why we're not seeing these kinds of ministries come out and minister to people is that people are not processing those things right. They are not taking those things to God in worship. They are not allowing God, all right, to heal them and bring things out of it. And if they do that, they'll be able to go out there and there are people you'll be able to help. You say, well, I suffered abuse as a child. There are many people who are hiding the fact they suffered abuse as a child, who are dying from it on the inside. And it's somebody who has experienced something that can get up and can go out and can begin to speak into people's lives and tell people that, look, you can come out and preach and not just preach the word, but speak into the lives of people. You know, somebody in this church, I can't remember who it was, you know, told me something one day. She said, you know, when a woman preaches faith, and a man preaches faith, it comes out differently. Now, that's when a woman is not trying to preach like a man, okay? You know, you're not trying to perform it. If you cried, say you cried as a woman, there is something there. And it's true. Because that's why if you look at Joyce Meyer's meetings, look at the people. You'll see 6 women and 1 man in the middle. I wonder how those men go for the meetings, all right? But she's reaching out to women who have gone through things that no male ministry spoke to. You understand what I'm saying? And sometimes the women who want to now preach start trying to preach like men to succeed. But she speaks to that. She talks to them in the areas. And that's what it's about. It's about going through things and then being able to minister to people.
Thank you for listening.